Blog Talk Radio.
What a moment. You have brought me through such a freedom I have found in you. You're the healer who makes all things new. That is our Father, that we are not going to look back. We're going to move ahead. Hallelujah. Thanking God for another day. Thanking God for his grace and his mercy. And, of course, everyone should know today is tax day. Given to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. But we have to always remember to give to God what belongs to God.
That's good.
So, amen. And I still have to finish mine. Almost done. I just have to get a document this morning or today from somewhere. And once I get that document and enter it in, I'm ready to push a button and I'm done. Praise the Lord. And I praying and hoping I don't owe a dime in the name of Jesus. Because I do give what I'm supposed to and do what I'm supposed to do. So let's hope and pray in Jesus' name. So let's get into our word this morning. We pray. Heavenly Father God, we thank you for this beautiful day. The sun coming up, just gorgeous. We thank you, Lord God, for your grace and your mercy, your love, your kindness, for all that you do, Lord. We just want to say thank you. Thank you for keeping us safe and safe from all hurt, from all harm, from all danger. We thank you, Father, for just loving us, even when we occasionally don't quite love ourselves like we should. We thank you, Father, for just being who you are. Awesome and mighty, great and gracious. And Lord, we thank you for a great day on yesterday. Oh, Lord, I thank you for my time in prayer and praise with you, God. And Lord God, I thank you for our pastor and Lord, bringing us safely home from the assignments that you are sending her on. And Father God, I thank you for this beautiful woman who I call Mother Valerie. I ask you to watch over her and keep her safe from her on his arm in danger. And Lord God, bless us to Carolyn as you give her a word every day. We thank you for all those that listen in live and listen in later. And Lord, we ask your blessings over them and their families in Jesus' name. Amen. And ask, oh, one thing, Lord, please increase as we decrease. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our humble hearts be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. In Jesus' name, amen. My final closing, Lord. you get carried away, and then you have to remember, whoa, wait a minute. I can't do this without God. I can't do this without him being in control and in charge. We got to give it all to God and watch him work. Because, again, not about us, but all about him. So I am thankful this morning. I was in church all day yesterday, Mother Valerie. When I left the table, I went to another church. And, oh, my, it was awesome. It was very awesome. God knows exactly what you need when you need it. So grateful. Wonderful evangelist spoke from Richmond, Virginia. It was just great. And I'm grateful that God sent me where I went because I needed it. And so I'm ready. I'm revived. I'm restored. And God knows I'm ready to do what he called me to do. And that is read the word of God to all of you. Mother Valerie, this morning we are coming Joshua chapter 19 and 20. And if they are divvying up the land. Everybody is getting their allotments. Yesterday we talked, and Caleb got his finally. After 45 years, he got his land. And his daughter, who he loved so much, you know, he told them all they had to do was to defeat somebody, and the one that defeated them would get his daughter's hand. And they did. Orthonel, he got his daughter's hand, and his daughter was her father's child. Boldly asked for land. She got a land. And then she asked for a spring to go with it. And guess what? Her daddy gave her her spring to go with her.
Amen.
And she is a powerful young woman. So let's get into the word, Mother. Again, Joshua 19 and 20. Psalms 46, 1 through 6. Proverbs 14, 7 through 11. And Luke, Dr. Luke, we like to call him, chapter 12. Verses 35 through 59. And in Joshua chapter 9, again, may the Lord add a blessing to the readers and hearers of this word. The second lot came out for Simeon, for the tribe of the Simeon, according to their families and their inheritance, was within the inheritance of the children of Judah. They had in their inheritance Beersheba, Sheba, Melita, Hazar, Shul, Bela, Izim, Etalot, Bethlehoma, Ziklag, Beth Markaba, Hazar, Shasha, Susa, Beth Lebarot, and Sharahim. 13 cities in their villages, Ing, Raman, Ether, and Ashen, 4 cities in their villages. And all the villages that were all around these cities as far as Baalath, Beer, Ramah, and of the south. This was the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Simeon, according to their families. The inheritance of the children of Simeon were included in the share of the children of Judah. But the share of the children of Judah was too much for them, therefore the children of Simeon had their inheritance within the inheritance of that people. The third lot came out for the children of Zebulun, according to their families, and the border of their inheritance was as far as Sarid. Their border went toward the west, and to Merilah, went to Dabeshath, and extended along the brook that is east of Jokneam. Then from Sherid, it went eastward toward the sunrise along the border of Chislot and Tabor and went out towards Japhia. And from there it passed along the east of Gath Ephar towards Eshkazin and extended to Rimmon, which borders Enea. Then the border went around it on the north side of Hananot. And it ended in the valley of Jephthah, and included were Kedet, Nahala, Shemron, Adala, and Bethlehem, 12 cities with their villages. This was the inheritance of the children of Zebulun. According to their families, these cities with their villages. The fourth lot came out to Issachar. For the children of Issachar, according to their families and their territory, went to Jezreel and included Chesalot, Shunem, Phurim, Shion, Ananathroth, Rebeth, Kishon, Abed, Ramith, and Ganem, Ed, Heda, and Beth Pez. And the border reached to Tabor, Shah Hazimah, and Beth Shemesh. Their borders ended at the Jordan, 16 cities with their villages. This was the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Issachar, according to their families, the cities and their villages. The fifth lot came out for the tribe of the children of Asher, according to their families, and their territory included Helkath, Hali, Bethan, Chef, Akshar, Ella Malik, Ahmed, Misha, excuse me, it reached the Mount Carmel westward along the brook of Shahar, Lebanon. It turned toward the sunrise to Beth Dagon, and it reached to Zebulun and to the valley of Dathan El, then northward beyond Beth Enik and Neil, bypassing Kabul, which was on the left, including Abron, Rehob, Hammon, and Cana, as far as Greater Sidon, and the border turned to Ramah and the fortified city of Tyre. Then the border turned to thee by the region of Ekzib, along Amath, Ephek, and Rehob were included, 22 cities with their villages. This was the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Asher. According to their families, these cities with their villages. Excuse me, I thought I had a good night's sleep. But again, we keep it real, and I am yawning, so please forgive me for that contagious thing. I tell my grandson all the time, Mother Valerie, that yawning is contagious. And sure enough, he'll yawn, and then I'll yawn. And then before everything is said and done, we're in giggles. We're just laughing because he thinks that is so funny. You know, we were on a call with his mom, and she yawned, and then he yawned, and then I yawned. And then it went around probably two times or more. And before everything was said and done, we were all in giggles over the yawning. So, Mother Valerie, I'm trying not to make you yawn. So, luckily, you can't see me. And as we get back into our word, we are in the 36th verse of chapter 19 of Joshua. The children of Naphtali. For the children of Naphtali, according to their families, and the border began at Lilihilapha, enclosing the territory from the Terebinth tree to Zananim, Adami, Nikib, and Jemiel, as far as Lakham. It ended at the Jordan from Helapha. The border extended westward to Asnath Tabor and went out from there toward Hukok. It adjoined Zebulun on the south side and Asher on the west side and ended at Judah by the Jordan toward the sunrise. And the fortified cities are Zedin, Zer, Hamath, Rechat, Shenanereth, Adama, Rama, Hazar, Kedesh, Edra, En Hazar, Ayin Megal, Migdal, El Harim, Beth Anat, Beth Shemesh, 19 cities with their villages. This was the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Naphtali, according to their families, the cities and their villages. The seventh lot came out for the tribe of the children of Dan, according to their families, and the territory. Just a moment, please. And their inheritance was Zura, Ishtol, Shemesh, Shalabin, Ajalon, Jezalot, Elon, Timnah, Ekron, Eltekai, Gibbethon, Beleth, Jehud, Bene, Birak, Gath, Ramon, Mijarkon, and Rakan, with the region near Joppa. And the border of the children of Dan went beyond these, because the children of Dan went up to fight against Leshem, and took it, and they struck it with the edge of the sword, took possession of it, and dwelt in it. They called Leshem Dan, after the name of Dan their father. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Dan, according to their families, these cities with their villages. When they had made an end of dividing the land as an inheritance according to their borders, The children of Israel gave an inheritance among them to Joshua, the son of Nun, according to the word of the Lord. They gave him the city which he asked for, Timnath-Serah, in the mountains of Ephraim, and he built the city and dwelt in it. These were the inheritance which Elijah the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel divided as an inheritance by lot in Shiloh before the Lord, the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So they made an end of dividing the country. Chapter 20. Then the Lord also spoke to Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint for yourselves cities of refuge. And our title this morning, for those that need a title, is God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge and strength, a present help in trouble, a very present help in trouble. And it says this, that God told him to create cities of refuge. And he says this, of which I spoke to you through Moses, that the slayer who kills a person accidentally, can I say that again, accidentally or unintentionally may flee there, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he flees to one of those cities and stands at the entrance of the gate of the city and declares this case in the hearing of the elders of the city, they shall take him into the city as one of them and give him a place that he may dwell among them. Then if the avenger of blood pursues him, they shall not deliver the slayer into his hand because he struck his neighbor unintentionally, but did not hate him beforehand. And he shall dwell in that city until he stands before the congregation for judgment, until the death of the one who is high priest in those days. Then the slayer may return and come to his own city and his own house, so that the city from which he fled. So they appointed Kadesh in Galilee, in the mountains of Naphtali, Sheshkem in the mountains of Ephraim, Parjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountains of Judah, and on the other side of the Jordan by Jericho, eastward. They assigned Bezer in the wilderness on the plain, from the tribe of Reuben, Ramoth in Gilead, from the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan, from the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger who dwelt among them, that whoever killed a person accidentally might flee there and not die by the hands of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. And that is the Old Testament word for this morning. And I have just read Joshua 19, verses 1 through chapter 20, verse 9. And my life lesson for this morning from Dr. Stanley is this: there were the inheritance, these were the inheritance which Elijah and the land and the heads of Israel divided as an inheritance in the lot in Shiloh before the Lord. Everything we do should be done for the Lord. Where we live, who we marry, how we make a living, all these things are proper issues to bring before the Lord in prayer. And I love the testimony yesterday, Mother Valerie, of Pastor Michelle's daughter, who said that, you know, her mother stopped to pray before she got her vehicle. And on yesterday, it was like a vehicle day. In the service I went to yesterday afternoon, the first lady was getting her car today. So God is giving out vehicles, and he's giving them to those that need and deserve them. And I know this, they ask anybody needing a car to come forth and touch the first lady. And, oh, my goodness, there were so many young people wanting to get their first car who went up to praise and to ask God to bless them with the vehicles that they need. And I believe that this is a season of blessing. I know there are many who wanted to be a season of cursing, but I don't believe that. I believe that it's a season of blessing. And, you know, Mother, I know a lot are talking about the eclipse, but I tell you, when I saw the eclipse and took my picture, mine was a bright star that looked like, just looked like a heavenly star as I sent it to you. I didn't see the black and the dark except for through my glasses. But from the naked eye, through the camera lens, I didn't look, understand. I just took pictures and say, Lord, let them come out. And mine came out bright, like shining stars. And all I could say is, I believe it was Jesus just saying, all is well. That's just my feeling. I don't believe in the gloom and doom. I believe in the grace of God. So turn it over to you.
Amen. 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 Good morning, people of God, and good morning, people that are coming to the Lord. I love what happened at church yesterday. Looked like God was just all over the choir. The choir was so beautifully anointed, especially anointed. It was just a beautiful time in the Lord. And I love the testimony of a young man. He said Pastor told him that she loved him. And he started crying, and she started crying, and he said he hadn't heard nobody say, you know, that's an awful thing. He hadn't heard nobody say in such a long time that I love you. Those words are very, very important. My daughter tells me that every day, Mom, I love you. She texts me that every day, I love you. And I text her that, I love you. God is just a good God, and we need to say those words to people. The man needed to hear that, and he just broke down crying. I mean, it's just the words are, I mean, they're God's words because God is love. To begin with, God is love, and people need to know that they're love because even if you are a billionaire, you can be a billionaire, you cannot take anything with you but love. So we need to tell people that they are loved because they need to hear that. They really do. I'm coming out of Psalms 41 and 6. Our title is God is Our Refuge and Strength, a very present help in trouble. And he is. He really is a very present help in trouble. When you can't say anything else, you can say Yahweh. You can holler the name of Jesus when you are fearful, and that fear will just go away because God is in you, God is with you, and he tells you 365 times a year, do not be afraid, little children. We are fearful. So all we need to do is call on our Father to help us. We are believers. Help me, Lord. Help me. He said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. Pause and think about it. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She should not be moved. God shall help her just as the break of dawn. The nations raised. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. Wow. Life lesson. Psalms 46 and 1. God is our help. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. On some days, we may feel as if our world has been shaken and everything we depend upon has been cast into the sea. But if we put our hope in God, we have no need to fear because he is truly the refuge that can never be moved. In fact, sometimes God will allow all of our earthly security to fail us so that we will learn to depend upon him better. God is our help. He's our strength. And if you call on him, even when you feel bad and you wake up and you feel that you don't have strength, he will give you strength for that day, for hours. Proverbs 14:7-11. Go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is favor. The heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger is not sure its doers. House of the wicked would be overthrown, but the tent of the upright will flourish. Get out of the ways of fools. The folly of fools is deceit. God talks about fools because they don't have any understanding. They really don't. They think they do, but they don't. Luke 12:35-59. Let your ways be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourself be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. But surely I say to you, he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and have not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. And that's true. We need to watch and wait and be ready. For it says the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. That's right. Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? Lord, who then is that faithful and wise steward when its master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and cut him in two, and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will did not prepare himself or do accordingly to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given from him, much will be required. And to whom much has been committed of him, they will ask the more. I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it was already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? Hell, you not at all, but rather division. For from now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two and two against three. Father will be divided against son against father, mother against daughter-in-law, against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Then he also said to the multitudes, whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say, a shower is coming, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be hot weather, and there is. Hypocrite, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it you do not discern this time? Yes, why even of yourselves do you not judge what is right? When you go with your adversary to the magistrate, make every effort along the way to settle with him, lest he drags you to the judge, deliver you to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you should not depart from there till you have paid the very last mite. Life lessons, Luke 12:48. Everyone to whom much is required from him much will be required. Jesus not give us gifts and talents and resources merely to spend them on ourselves. He gives them to us so that we might use them to expand his kingdom and to meet the needs of others, especially fellow believers. That's true. And Pastor Bridget is always meeting the need of other people. She does that graciously and kindly. And I love that about her. She always meets, you know, the needs of other people. Okay, going back, lesson Luke 12 and 37. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. He will come and serve them. Servants serve and masters get served. At least that's the way it works in this world. But Jesus says that he, the master, will serve his faithful, prepared servants when he returns to settle accounts. Jesus said he came to serve. Isn't that amazing? Our God, our Savior, came to serve. And I remember when he was washing the servant's feet, his disciples' feet, and Peter said, "No, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet." And he said, "If I can't wash your feet, then you're not part of me." And Peter said, "Not only my hands, my feet, my head, just everything."
Like, wash me up.
No. Yes. He said, "It's not necessary. Only your feet are dirty." I mean, can you imagine? I can't even hardly imagine that. And Peter couldn't imagine it either, that the Lord got water, took a towel, and washed their dirty feet. I mean, that's amazing. He humbled himself to wash their dirty feet. Just look at that. That's totally amazing. Answers to life questions. How can I deal with the anger or bitterness of another? Proverbs 4 and 10. The unfortunate fact is sooner or later, all of us will run into someone who feels anger or bitter toward us. What should you do when you find yourself as the object of another's bitterness? How should you respond to someone's red-hot anger aimed straight at you? Responding to the bitterness with more bitterness leads only to a combative and even explosive situation. So what should you do? First, about the situation. What happened? How did the situation unfold? Are you really at fault? It may be that you can't entirely reconstruct the event in question, but try your best to honestly recall what led to the outburst. Second, listen carefully to what the bitter person is saying. Bitterness and anger are usually the offshoot of deep hurt. Say something like, "It seems that you are really upset. Can we talk about it?" Even such a simple question may help to diffuse the situation, and even if it doesn't, you may not be able to turn the bitterness around in someone else's life. You can stop it from taking root in your own heart by asking God to help you understand why this person feels the way he or she does. Third, anytime you come under personal attack, it is very important to recall God's personal love for you. You have made mistakes, but that does not change the Lord's feeling about you. Ask him to encourage you through his word. Fourth, ask God to help you respond with his love and grace and to protect you from angry attacks. In Psalm 64, we read how one man prayed for God's deliverance from the attack of an embittered enemy. Bitterness is a much deeper and more complex reaction than a simple expression of quick anger. It is a satanic stronghold, needs to be faced in an honest manner. God tells us to beware, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Hebrews 12 and 15. When you find yourself the target of a bitter accusation or a hateful personal attack, just pray. Pray for God's protection. Ask him to give you wisdom in dealing with the other person as well as a healthy perspective on the entire matter. Your reaction to the assault is the most important issue with God. Therefore, be firm but loving in what you do or say. boy, how can I deal with the anger of the bitterness of another? You have to be careful, be loving, and, you know, just deal with it. And then if that bitterness don't turn away, you just continue to pray for that person. I mean, that's all you can do, is to continue to pray for people, because God is a good God. And, you know, sometimes you didn't do anything, that the person is just, you know, you didn't do anything. But you can ask that person, when they're bitter like that, to forgive you, even if you don't feel like you are at fault. Sometimes you take, you just ask people to forgive you. You don't have to be at fault. And when you ask people to forgive you and you're not at fault, sometimes they will turn away from their anger and they will forgive you. How can I deal with the anger or bitterness of another? God is just a good God all the time. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The temperature is really 57 degrees, and it's going to get up to 81 without rain. So if you got to go out, it's going to be a beautiful, lovely day. Spring is here. It's really here. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget. God is good. He's good.
Amen. We won't be here very long today, I don't believe, but the prayer for God that God gave me, and Mother, your everything you just said was right on point. And, you know, and it's also coming out of the Proverbs today, the word that God gave me for our prayer, and it's coming out of Proverbs 27:4. And it says, wrath is fierce and anger is a flood, but who can stand before jealousy? And sometimes we don't realize that there are people that are jealous of us that we don't even know why they have a jealousy toward us, because all we've ever done is love them. You know, so we have to be very careful, you know, what we do and how we do it, because we still don't want to create confusion. You know, what we may have been feeling was right, because somebody else said it's not, you have to go with what they say, especially when they're in charge. You have to deal with it. And, you know, and you have to repent. And sometimes it's hard to repent when you feel like you didn't do anything. But then God will show you if what you're doing has caused another to stumble. When you know that they may not be as strong in their faith as you are in yours, you have to stop and take a minute and repent. And you have to give it to God and let it go. Because so many times you want to hold on to it and get mad and, well, I don't feel like I did anything wrong and I ain't got nothing to say to them and da-da-da. And all that does is use you. And that's the one thing we don't want to do in our life, is create confusion. Create confusion with a brother or a sister. Create confusion with a pastor or a leader. We just don't want to do that. We want to walk in righteousness and walk in faith. We want to walk with God. And that comes from just listening. And when you're wrong, say you're wrong. When you were out of order, say, I was out of order, and keep it moving. Because you never know, your blessing may come from that one thing, because it was an act of faith that God stopped you, even though you might have been in a certain place, but somebody else is not. And this is what it says in the New King James Version. Wrath is cruel and anger a torrent, but who is able to stand before jealousy? And this is what our prayer is for today as we go through this week, is merciful God, you are not prone to anger. You are rich in love, patient in extending mercy. When I consider all that your kingdom holds for those who love you, I am encouraged to keep going in you. Help me keep my eyes fixed on you, the author and finisher of my faith. Keep me from getting distracted by the details of other people's lives. May I not give into temptation to compare the current state of my journey with the highlights of others. There is no timeline for success. And what does success matter if I lose my peace with you in the process? Keep my heart from jealousy that acts out of suspicion and resentment. What a slippery slope. May my heart be satisfied in you, Lord, and may I stay with resolute vision on the path laid before me. Thank you for your grace. And the question is, has envy kept you from enjoying what you have? Wow, that's a huge question. Does envy keep you from enjoying, kept you from enjoying what you have? You know, when we have that covetous spirit, you know, I'm working with my kids on, we did our lesson came from Isaiah, and we were talking about Jezebel and Rahab and the fact that she got mad, at Elijah because she felt he was the cause of the rain to stop, not the fact that they were worshiping idols. And so to work with our kids, I explained that, you know, you have to incorporate the top 10 in a whole lot of words. Once you pass Exodus and Deuteronomy and those five, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, and Deuteronomy, you're dealing with everything from that point on. Those laws are important. Those commandments are important. And we can today stick to those. No stealing, no killing, no lying, no cheating, no coveting, no having other gods before our God. No idol worship, even though you have shows called American Idol. You know, all these things, it's almost like it tries to pull you into idolatry. But the one thing of all of this, jealousy is a horrible, horrible thing. And that's the one thing we don't want to have, is jealous spirit. Be jealous of each other, jealous of our friends, jealous of our family. Just jealous of anybody. We don't want to do that. We want to leave that stuff at the door and walk in love. And as you said, Mother Valerie, you know, the testimony yesterday of just saying, I love you, and meaning it can change the trajectory of someone's life. And saying and inviting someone to church, because you never know, they might come. They might come. And that's what we look forward to, someone coming, getting saved, set free. That's what we want. And that is our job, is to speak the word, teach the word, and pray for someone to be saved. In the name of Jesus. And Mother, that is all I have for this morning. I am not going to go any further what we need. And so I do have a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. I should say my sister in Christ, your niece in blood, Sister Carolyn. And it says this, and it's, right on point as always. Good morning. The tongue is very powerful. Let your words be positive and of love today. Speak the word of God. Declare it over everything you're involved with and watch how change will take place. Have a motivated Monday. Thank you, Sister Carolyn. A right on time word. And for those that were not with me on yesterday, I'll just give you Sister Carolyn's words for the weekend. And it says this, on Saturday, I pray that God will continue to wrap his loving arms around you today. May his peace enter and saturate your home. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a serene Saturday. And for yesterday, Our faith in Jesus sets us apart from what we used to be and makes us new creatures in Christ, spiritual Sunday. And I took Sister Carolyn's work and rolled with it. I did have a spiritual Sunday. Yes, there was a hiccup, but you know what? I gave it to God and kept it moving and let God deal with the situation. I took it to the altar is what I did. And that's why I was able to do what I had to do for God, because I could not allow something like that to weigh down my spirit. I went to the altar and I prayed and I asked God to forgive me. And I asked the person who I felt that I may have wronged in some way to forgive me as well. Because the enemy is trying to cause confusion. He's trying to cause confusion in our ministry. He's trying to cause confusion in our family. He's trying to cause confusion. Because that's what he does. He is a confusion starter. He loves to keep folks at each other, mad at each other, causing each other strife. We've got to understand that everything is not always about us. We'll have to be decent and in order, regardless of what we may feel, and that we may feel this way or that way. We still have to be decent and in order. And giving it to God, we got to do it right. And as we go forth again, the word for this morning from Sister Carolyn, the tongue is very powerful. And that we need to understand. The tongue is very powerful. Let your words be positive and of love today. Speak the word of God. Declare it over everything you're involved with. And watch how change will take place. Have a motivated Monday. I'm motivated to have a good day, Mother Valerie. I am not going to let anything knock me off my deal today. I'm going to walk and I'm going to talk and I'm going to believe that my taxes will be finished on time before midnight tonight, and I will not have to pay the IRS anything. In Jesus' name. I'm claiming it. I'm speaking it into existence, and I'm believing God for his grace and his mercy. So I thank all of you again for listening in this morning. Thank you, Mother Valerie, for being such an awesome co-host and a wonderful godmother. And I just thank God for all of you who listen live and listen later. Keep coming back. You know, we want to get folks listening to the Bible. We want the word of God to go forth, because that's what we do. It's not about us. It is all about him. If you just need a word, that is all we need, is a word from God. So tell God thank you and let God work in your life. And all I say today is, be blessed and may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a wonderful and blessed day, family. And remember, God is in charge of everything, and he is our refuge. Take it to the throne and not to the phone, and watch God work in your life. Have a great day. Mother Valerie, do you have anything else before we wrap up?
You know what? I just like the life lessons, Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. A lot of times you will feel weak in that body. You feel like you can't go on. You can't do this. You're not strong. But then if you repeat, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, you will be able to do it if you call on God. You can't use your strength. You have to use his strength. I can.
Yeah.
I can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God is good. And you know what?
All the time.
This is a wrap.
It's a wrap, Mother. You are so right. It is a wrap. Have a blessed day, family. Come join Mother Valerie and I tomorrow as we move forward in the Word of God. It's a wrap.
Amen.
Amen. And shoot.